Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, good morning and welcome to the finance show here on tiptv.co.uk. It's 10 a.m. Thursday, the 22nd of September, allegedly the beginning of autumn. And we're joined here today by Alessio Ristani from leadingtrader.com. How are you today, Alessio?
Thanks very much. Good to be here again. And got a lot of things to talk about today, especially after the Fed meeting yesterday.
Right.
What are your thoughts about it?
I was interested in the Janet Yellen talking about the whites of the eyes of inflation. I'm not sure what that means. Because inflation is normal, you don't get inflation with, apparently you don't get inflation with ultra low interest rates. That's the cure for inflation, but the one that nobody was really expecting.
Right.
Also, the split on the vote, 7-3, was also, I'm surprised there hasn't been a run on the dollar, and I'm surprised that equity markets are as strong as they are.
Well, we've been talking about this in the last few times we've met on Tip TV, and I remember, I think you agreed with me on this, that I wasn't expecting the Fed to raise rates yesterday. Were you expecting it? I certainly wasn't.
No, because they don't want to raise rates.
No.
They'll use any excuse in the world not to.
Well, I think they'll delay the decision until December. That's what they tend to do in the past. In 2013, we saw that they delayed the decision to taper until December. Everyone thought it was going to be September. It wasn't. Then the year after that, or 2 years after that, we're talking about interest rate hikes, the first interest rate hike, and that happened in December. Seems to be a kind of a pattern with the Fed that they delay decisions until the end of the year. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen this year. And mark my words, I think we'll see a rate hike in December, unless something drastically out of the ordinary happens. Who knows? But
I think the problem with the whole issue here is that you've had the QE policy and the ultra low interest rate policy was one which was designed to stabilize the markets and get growth back and everything else. It didn't get the growth back that they were expecting, and the side effect has been the flat inflation.
I think the
fear now is that if they raise rates, they'll burst the asset bubble, which has caused us to recover from 2008. That might actually be a ridiculous fear. It might be just as ridiculous as the Brexit fear was, for instance. But they've got that in their mind, that if they raise rates, everything could, the house of cards could fall apart, and that is the real issue now.
Yeah, and I certainly think that given the way it's been going, I think we're still fighting, as you correctly say, the forces of deflation are still with us. We're still fighting deflationary forces. So that certainly seems to be the way that the Fed is thinking, and that's why presumably they haven't raised rates yet. But it's interesting to see how the markets, the stock markets and the bond market will react to this. We saw a rally in the stock markets yesterday. Clearly the market's still addicted to this Fed, you know, quantitative easing feed. But let's continue with I think we've got some charts to look at.
Yeah, let's have a look at what's going on today. Most popular business and finance. Lloyds of London warns Brexit is a major issue. City firms risk losing EU passporting. Lloyds of London struck a negative note despite posting record profits today, warning that Brexit poses a major issue for the centuries-old insurance market and its members' ability to sell insurance in the EU. From my mind, that's from the Telegraph. They should be looking at how they've got record profits and how that is likely to continue with or without this EU passporting situation. I think the problem with most of the institutions that we have, financial ones, are, let's say, dominated by people who are very pro the EU.
I think you're right. There is a certain, it seems on which side of the Brexit argument you're on, and then you get this views. People who are against Brexit or were against Brexit, pro-Remain, it seems they come out often with warnings.
Even as they are doing well. But I mean, that's the thing. Pro-EU is pro-establishment.
Right.
If anti-EU, you're a rebel, you're a maverick, you're a bit strange, and that's the way we have it. So people who work there, the executives at Lloyds of London, like the executives of any any bank or many FTSE 100 company, most of them are on that pro-EU, just because that's how they
so
got there.
So you think it's natural for them
to come out. That's how they got there. They think that's how they got there. That's how they became successful. Where they may not be comparing like for like, or it may not be relevant at all. In the case of Lloyds, that is a classic best of British institution,
right,
which did very well. And was a leading institution even before we entered the EU.
I would take the... So, I mean, we're hearing about... We just read this. The negative confidence in the economy, or the negative confidence in general, I take that as a contrarian point of view. I still... Put it this way. We never see a market top when everyone is bearish or when the institutions are bearish. Usually it's the opposite. When they're most bullish, that's when you see a top. But let's continue.
Okay, so small business confidence negative territory for the first time in 4 years. Smaller firms have increasingly worried about the prospects for the UK economy, even though they continue to recruit staff and enjoy greater access to finance. So again, you've got everything going for them, and they're worried. So, well, what can I say? Next slide, please. Mike's Morning Markets, which you would have seen this slide a couple of hours ago with Mike as we did the early edition of the Finance Show. Asian markets outside Japan rose for a sixth day, led by materials and commodity names, boosted by a weak US dollar and loose monetary policies. However, the yen edges closer towards 100 versus the dollar. I think the low is 100.10. This morning, the Fed delivers a hawkish hold, as expected, with a single hike in December telegraphed, and that won't happen either, I can assure you. And a lower trajectory is signaled on the dot plot. The US dollar fell to session lows. Oil extends gains as EIA data suggests that US crude inventories fell to their lowest level since February. Meanwhile, Saudi Arabia and Iran meet ahead of the International Energy Forum in Algiers next week. Finally, banks are convinced that the UK is set to lose clearing business in any Brexit deal. London currently handles 75% of euro-denominated derivative transactions, and that's the way it should stay.
Yeah. Mm.
Next up, we've got Nicole Elliott of the Investors Chronicle. Her commentary is that ever since raising the overnight Fed funds rate target from 25 to 50 basis points in December last year, members of the FOMC have done nothing but pontificate about the number and timing of rate rises that we must expect in 2016. So much for all of that, because yesterday, in a 7-3 vote split, they decided to do nothing. They still haven't given up the ghost, though, stating the committee judges that the case for an increase in the Fed funds rate has strengthened and that risks to the outlook were roughly balanced. Yeah. So more wishy-washy comments.
Absolutely. And I would say this, that the Federal Reserve will look also at how the stock markets are reacting to all of this. It is often ignored, this point, and it's an important one, that the Federal Reserve just looks at the economy and the numbers and the data. The truth is they also look at how the stock markets, the investors, the traders, how they are reacting to all of this. So come December, we need to know how's the stock market, the S&P, the Dow, the FTSE, how have they responded to all of this? Of course, we're going to keep hearing from Yellen in the weeks and months to come. Certainly, if the markets start plummeting and dropping, which can happen in October, I think less likely they'll introduce a rate hike. Nonetheless, I'm going to stick with my point that I think a rate hike in December is very likely. We'll continue.
Okay. Economic calendar. In the UK, we have the CBI trends. The US Chicago Fed National Activity Index, initial jobless claims, and continuing claims. Existing home sales, which will be interesting. Natural gas storage is possibly not so interesting. Kansas City Fed manufacturing activity, and then the sell 10-year TIPS reopening in the US, whatever that means. on to sentiment with Oanda clients.
I always love looking at this.
Top of the list just is silver. Uh-huh. Second is dollar yen, which has jumped up about 10 points in 24 hours.
I'm surprised that pound dollar has reached into the extreme territory for bullishness, and 70% are bullish on the pound.
Yep.
That must have been because of the rally we had just recently, I'm guessing.
Well, it tipped over 50% when it was under 130,
right,
and has now shot up as it's gone through towards 130.50, so that is interesting there. On the sell side, dollar Canadian still very, very short, as is euro sterling.
Silver, though, just before we move on, I think silver, if it breaks, I mean, the fact that so many people are still bullish on silver, maybe we haven't reached an extreme on silver. I'm not quite certain about the how in the past this sentiment reading has responded. I think if silver breaks this $18, maybe 17 and a half level, I think we could see a flush down on commodities, but we'll see.
Okay, next up we've got the TIP TV trade of the day, selling cable around 130.70, objective 129.45 down to 128.77, stops.
So they're calling for a sell at 130.70, objective 129.45.
So that's on the basis that there would be a Fed rate hike in December. And in the wake of yesterday's
comments. And I presume it's also potentially referring to maybe a November interest rate hike in the UK, although I don't think it's likely. But, I mean, it makes sense. I personally think, look, if it fails, if the British pound fails to get through 131.5, then this is correct. Because I am looking actually to buy into the levels on this chart. If you can have a look into these levels, S1 and S2, I think it's pointed out here. So, yes, 128.5. to 128 level are good levels to get long on the British pound. Folks can actually look at maybe a bounce on the pound and then get long at those levels.
Yeah, I'm probably running out of time, but yeah, slides, you've got your slides together.
Yeah, let's go through this quickly. Actually, I wonder if guys can we just go to the next one first before we come. Yeah. Quickly, I just want to cover. This is called, it's called the FOMC trading strategy. Many people ask, well, how do we trade news announcements like the Fed announcement, the FOMC? Well, here's a really good one. All you have to remember is ABC, okay? I'll try and explain this very quickly. But basically what you have to remember is once the news comes out, if you took a look at the left-hand side, as soon as the news announcement comes out on FOMC, which was at 7 p.m. yesterday, UK time, the first move, the first reaction is called move A. That's the real direction the market wants to go usually. Then you see move B, which is essentially the fake move, the false move, okay? You want to stay out of the market for A and B. But when wave B or move B comes down to support, which in this case was the 100 moving average or the previous lows, get long at that point because that's move C. And move C is the one you want to trade. And we did this on the S&P. In fact, yesterday caught about a nice 19 S&P point move. And just go back to the previous chart, guys. Yeah, you can also do this in currencies. We did this on the British pound yesterday, as a matter of fact. Again, look, news comes out. That's move A. Then move B, that's a false move. Then at the end of move B, we can get long, and I actually use a specific indicator, which I'm releasing pretty soon. It's called LT Edge. That was a buy signal right there on the red bar, and you can see it's a pretty nice move there on the pound. But that's essentially how I would trade the FOMC.
Well, that looks great, unless you're starting. Well, actually, no, we've still got a little bit more. Sorry, we've still got more. Sorry, the co-report from Investors Intelligence. S&P has overcome some key levels, 2150 and resistance from the 50-day exponential moving average. A small base is also activating that projects a move back up to the region of the record high from August. Upside follow through in the end into the end of the week is looking likely as indicators are sweetly positioned to note the MACD now starting to curl up from just beneath neutral.
Just to quickly point out 10 seconds that there is a gap there. We mentioned this before, but there's a gap right there on the right hand side of the chart between 2180 and 2170. I think very likely we're going to go see fill that gap. So potential more upside on the S&P.
Okay, great. And I think that may be the end of the section. Alessio Ristani from LeadingTrader.com, thank you very much for opening the show today. We'll be back after the break.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.